Many of God's people who have received grace don't want to offer it to anybody else. They have become Christian cul-de-sacs rather than Christian conduits.
But Dr. Tony Evans says if we really understand God's grace, it'll spill over onto the people around us.
Whenever you lose sight of grace, you lose sight of servanthood.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Imagine a warehouse that only received deliveries and never shipped anything out. Well, Dr. Evans will talk to us today about the danger of becoming a blessing depository as he takes a look at what it means to serve by grace. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 as we join him.
One of the TV shows I used to watch in the 50s, and those who are old enough will remember it, was simply called The Millionaire. In this particular television show, a nameless benefactor would hand out $1 million a week to different people. I guess one of the reasons I love the show was I love the thought of somebody giving $1 million. And every week he would hand out $1 million to another person. Now, you never saw his face. He had a representative named Michael Anthony. And Michael Anthony represented the invisible, never to be seen benefactor as he went to the people and gave them a check for $1 million. The story weekly revolved around how people used the gift that was given them. Some people wasted it. Other people lost it. Other people dismissed it. But then there were other people who used it to benefit them and even beyond them to benefit others. So what kept the weekly program interesting was how people used the gift that they had been given. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given a gift from an invisible benefactor. You can't see God. God is a spirit. So you don't know what he looks like. You don't have a physical relationship with him, but he does have a representative named Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ dispenses the grace of God to all who believe in him and accept him for it based on his substitutionary death on the cross. We have defined grace as God's unmerited favor. It is the goodness of God that he makes available to people that they cannot earn, do not deserve, and would never be able to repay. Now he says in verse 10 that you are to be stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold means multicolored. That means grace in its variety of expressions. Now he says you are stewards of grace. A steward is one who protects and expands the assets of another. So here's what God has said. He said, in light of grace, in light of my favor, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. It is unfortunate today that many of God's people who have received grace don't want to offer it to anybody else. They have received the goodness of God, but they don't appreciate the goodness of God that they have received. They don't come to worship service, they come to worship selfish. They only come to get my blessing. They only come to get my benefit. They only come to get my favor. They have become Christian cul-de-sacs rather than Christian conduits, not knowing that what they're actually doing is stifling the favor of God flowing through their own life. He says, you are a steward of the grace of God. Employ it in serving one another. So the proof that you appreciate grace is demonstrated in how much you are willing to serve others in the family of God. Some of you have in your home teenagers who take their parents for granted. And any of you got kids like that? They take you for granted. You're supposed to go to work. You're supposed to buy the food. You're supposed to drive me where I need to go. You are supposed to, you're supposed to, you're supposed to. But then when you ask them to wash the dishes, when you ask them to vacuum the floor, they're going to give you an attitude. And then they got the nerve to not contribute, but then ask you, what's for dinner? I ain't going to cook. I ain't going to set the table. I ain't going to clean up. But what you got for me? Because they don't appreciate the goodness that you are providing them day in and day out. Well, God's got some teenagers. People who want to live in God's house, benefit from God's house, get the goodness of God's house. But when they ask to do a little something, something for God, they tied up in their own room. He says, you are stewards of the grace of God. Therefore, serve. Watch this. Don't misunderstand me. You're not serving to get grace. That's law. You are serving because of grace. If you have paid for your child's education in college, that means you're putting out a lot of money. So their work in school doesn't earn your pay. You paid because they're your child. But you want them to do their work and to do their studies because of the high cost you have put investing in them to cause them to want to give their best in school and not act a fool. God says, because of my grace, I want you to give me your best. My grace is free, but I just want to know how much you appreciate it. And you don't just appreciate it by coming to church. You appreciate it by being a servant. That's why Ephesians 2:10 is so important. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he hath created beforehand that we should walk in them. He has spent verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2 saying you're saved by grace. But now that you're saved, he says in verse 10, now you are my workmanship. The Greek word workmanship means masterpiece. You're special. It says in the passage we read, 1 Peter 4, since you have received a special gift. See, you're special now. You have been elected by God for a special service for the kingdom of God as an expression of appreciation for his grace. You are no longer normal. You are unique. That's why as a Christian, you don't want to spend your time trying to be somebody else. You are his special masterpiece. Watch. Created for good work. So let me define good work. Good work is not the same as good things. Sinners can do good things. Atheists can do good things. People who hate God can do good things. They can build hospitals, orphanages, be philanthropists. You don't have to be a Christian to do a good thing, but that's not the same as a good work. A good work in the Bible is something that God has ordained that benefits other people for which he gets the credit. A good work is only a good work if God is connected to it. Because according to Matthew 5:16, let men see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. God must be attached to it before God recognizes it as a good work. You're just a good thing. You're just another nice neighbor if God is not attached to it. So he says, I want you serving one another as an expression of the grace of God that I've given to you. Unfortunately, far too many Christians are living a life in falsetto. Falsetto means living outside of your range. You're not allowing what God has given you to be used for the advancement of his kingdom, the building up of his body, and the impact in the world. But you want your blessing. Everybody's showing up for their blessing. But how many people show up to find out, God, how do you want me to be a blessing? Because that is the proof that you recognize you are what you are by grace.
But is it possible for that grace to be wasted? Dr. Evans will take us to a passage that answers that question when he continues our message in a moment. First, though, don't miss your chance to get a copy of the follow-up book Dr. Evans has put together to help you get more out of our current series. It's called The Grace of God, and it explains how you can grow more by doing less, by leaning into God's grace instead of working harder to measure up on your own. Dr. Evans says we sometimes wind up being our own worst enemy when it comes to this important area, so it's vital that we learn to let the Lord change us from the inside out. That's why we want you to have a copy of The Grace of God as our gift. Just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution of any size, large or small, and we'll say thanks by sending it your way. And if you contact us right away, we'll include full-length CDs of all 12 messages in our brand new series, The Magnificent Grace of God, and a DVD full of study resources from Tony, all as a bonus. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. I'll have that information for you again later on, after part two of today's lesson and this message.
Connect with Jesus in a deeper way, not just by reading about Him, but by actually experiencing Him through the power of world-class teaching. The Tony Evans Training Center provides online learning in an understandable and refreshing way. Make the pages of your Bible come alive through courses covering a wide range of subjects. Isn't it time to begin a biblical adventure? We're here to guide you as you go. Just visit us at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org to receive your first month free. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
Let me show you a passage. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now listen what Paul the Apostle said. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, these words. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. In one verse, notice how many times he used grace. He said, it's grace, it's grace, it's grace, it's grace. And because it's grace, I worked harder than all of them. See, the more you understand grace and the more you appreciate grace, the more you're willing to serve because of grace. But the less you know grace and the less you appreciate grace, you have to be begged, you have to be cajoled, you have to be kicked, you have to be threatened, you have to be, because you don't recognize grace. So somebody tries to apply law because grace isn't working. Let me tell you why Paul says he labored more than everybody else. Because he used to kill Christians. He used to be a murderer. He says, I persecuted the church. But then on the Damascus Road in Acts 9, a light shone from heaven. Jesus Christ spoke. And Jesus Christ reached down and found this pagan Jewish leader and brought him to salvation. Then not only did God save him, but then God took him to the desert of Arabia and used all of his Jewish education to make him the leader in the church. Then God reached down and used him to write 13 books of the New Testament. Then God reached down and let him start churches all over Asia Minor. Then God reached down and let him advance the kingdom of God. He says, when I saw what I used to be, and when I saw where God has brought me down, God doesn't have to ask me twice to serve. God doesn't have to ask me twice to minister to the body of Christ. He doesn't have to ask, because I know where I used to be. And I know where I was. And I know where God has brought me. And I know even though I got the title of apostle, I'm not Mr. Big Stuff. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be where I am, because I am what I am by the grace of God. And if some of us here today would remember and look back far enough, if we really look back, some of us should be in the grave today. Some of us should be in jail today. Some of us should be in poverty today. Some of us should be miserable in a psychiatric ward today. But God in His grace reached down and grabbed you and brought you up out the miry clay. And you should be saying, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so what God is saying is, I want you to be a conduit of grace, because watch this. The more servanthood you express, the freer grace can flow. Okay, you see that? You have the grace, but you don't want to block the flow of grace. And nothing blocks the flow of grace like selfishness. Nothing blocks the flow of grace like self-centeredness and pride and lack of humility. You are servants. I am a servant. And he says we've been elected for this purpose. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, he says, I want you to be useful and fruitful. And then he says, the ones who I can't use and the ones who aren't producing anything for my glory and my kingdom and building up the body of Christ, he says, is because they have forgotten the purification from their former sins. They have forgotten my forgiveness. They've forgotten my goodness. And they have taken my goodness for granted. And that's why they don't serve. We ask all of our members to serve one another in picking a ministry. To say to God, God, I want to be a blessing to somebody else. I don't just want to. That's why God created the church. You don't need the church for preaching. You don't need the church for singing. You can get that in a lot of ways. The reason why God created the church is so that you would have a serving environment within the family of God. That's why he says one another, one another, one another, one another. And then the overflow to the broader world. If you are not a servant, you are stifling the flow of grace. You have it, but you're blocking it. Because God cannot flow in the context of selfishness. And so, look at what Paul tells Timothy. I'm going to show you this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says in verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to think they're better than the homeless guy, better than the poor guy, better than the person who may not have what you have. He says, you tell them, don't be conceited. He says, tell them something else. He says, you tell them, don't fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. There will come a time in your life and my life, no matter how much money you have, no matter how many people you know, no matter how much clout you exercise, that you will face something money can't fix. You will face something money can't buy. You will face something that all the money in the world you would give away for if you could get this problem solved. He says, so you tell them it's okay to have it, but they better not fix their hope on it. What else you want me to tell them? He says, you tell them to fix their hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So wait a minute, that's good news. He says, if God gave it, it's okay to enjoy it. You don't have to apologize for having what God gave as long as you don't have the wrong attitude for it. So what do you want me to tell them, Paul, about how to have the right attitude about the grace that you have given us all? He says, instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. He says, you instruct them to have a servant mentality because they only have what they have because I gave it to them. Okay, God, what are you telling Paul to tell them to motivate them to do this? Verse 19, storing up for themselves treasures for a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Okay, here it is. When you stand before God and I stand before God and he reviews your life from salvation to death, one of the things that the tape will show is your servanthood. He will want to know how his blessings to you became a benefit to others. Or did you only live for me, myself, and I? He says you are storing up for the future. And when you and I stand before God and he runs over those clips of the tape that aren't pretty, he runs over those clips of the tape that we're ashamed of, he runs over those clips of the tape where we failed him and we're embarrassed and we want to hide our face, He says, I'm going to put alongside the clips where you were a servant and where you showed mercy and where you helped people who couldn't help themselves. I'm going to put that against the tape of your failure, and I will let mercy over here override failure over there. So he says, you store up treasure for the future, James 2:13 says. So what I'm telling you is that if you really appreciate grace, and if you don't appreciate it, you need to go back to the cross, because the cross is the foundation of grace. And if you will learn to appreciate and enjoy the grace of God, but be a vehicle through which God can flow, then his grace can just flow through you. And it says, and guess what he'll give you? He will give you, the last verse says, life indeed. You know what life indeed is? Real life, the stuff money can't buy. See, that's life indeed. Because you can have a new home and be miserable in it. You can have a new car and have nowhere to go. You can have good health and wish you were dead, because you don't have life indeed. But he says, to those who have a servant's heart, I will give them life, and I will give it to them more abundantly. I will give them life indeed.
That abundant life the Bible talks about begins when you realize that God's grace is the only way to get to heaven and make the decision to receive it by trusting Jesus alone. There's more to that story, and Dr. Evans will tell it to you personally on video. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. You'll learn what it means to be a real Christian and find some free downloadable resources to get you started. Well, Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final story to wrap up the program today. But first, I want to remind you that today's message, Serving by Grace, is available on its own or as a part of Tony's brand new series, The Magnificent Grace of God. As I mentioned earlier, it's yours as a gift when you visit TonyEvans.org and make a contribution of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And remember, it'll come to you bundled with Tony's short companion book for this series, The Grace of God, and his DVD loaded with extra Bible study resources. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are available around the clock to help you. No matter how much we wish it wasn't, it's still a fact. Real growth doesn't come easy. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us how to depend on God's grace to get us to the other side and describe the benefits waiting for us when we do. Right now, though, he's back with this final story about the similarity of serving your mother and serving your Maker.
A mother gave her son some jobs to do. The son left a note for his mother to see just before he left for school the next morning. The note read this way: for cleaning my room, $2. For washing the dishes, $2. For putting away my clothes, $2. For mowing the lawn, $2. Total, Mama, you owe me $10. The mother saw the note. She took out $10 and put it by the note. But then she wrote her own note. She said, for carrying you 9 months, no charge. For staying up all night when you were sick, no charge. For ironing your clothes so that you look decent when you go to school, no charge. Total, no charge. It was just because I loved you. When the little boy saw the note of his mama, he gave back the $10 because he understood that to serve what she asked him to do was only the right thing to do when there was that much love that had been displayed from her to him. And when I see how much grace of God has come to me, then serving as I have opportunity and as I have ability should be no problem. I ought to look for opportunities to serve, because I am what I am by the grace of God.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.